What's going on with dance and stuff? What's happening with dance and things? What's going on? What's happening? What's going on with dance and stuff?
A gloomy, gloomy day. Another gloomy day.
It's still gloomy out there.
Day after day after day. It's just gloom and doom, gloom and doom.
I walked past this... On my way from Abrams back home last night, I walked past this, like, garden, and there are these trees, blossoming trees in it, and they're in bloom. And I thought, is this right?
Yeah.
Is it? I don't think so.
Well, as discussed another time on this podcast, in general, things are responding more to light than anything else. But I think it's, I think it's time for things to wake up. Tulips are coming out.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, like, I thought fully, but... I thought this is April activity. But,
well,
you
April's
know,
next on the schedule.
April's next on this agenda, that's for sure.
March 6th. Soon's going to be the 7th. Soon yeah. thereafter, the 8th.
Life, the cycle of life. Yes. Thank you to our listeners who've reached out to me about my dad. It's
very nice.
Nice. And I've received a lovely book from a listener called Marianne.
Oh, yeah. Send gifts. Send gifts. Send money. Send boyfriends. Send whatever you can.
I received a lovely box from Harry and David from a friend, not a podcast listener, but a friend. That's very nice. Thank you. And phone calls from Lindsay and Evan.
Around the world.
Yes. Even people from Australia have reached out. Will, thank you so much. And it's been very nice. And I feel very appreciative. And not in a way where I'm just saying that word. We're actually, it's deeply felt.
So. That's good. That's very nice.
You
also, if you want to write your condolences in messages on the Dance and Stuff podcast, whatever. I don't even know. We don't even talk about these things anymore that you're supposed to say. Like and subscribe. Comment. I just thought it'd be funny if people commented there about
please subscribe to our Instagram. Maybe I'll post a picture of my dead father.
Oh my god, like gruesome Evangeline. What's that line?
I found out yesterday because I was at the welfare office with his wife, Mayumi. We didn't get in. We actually went to two different ones where they were like, they were just basically like, you can't come here. We went to one at World Trade Center, and they were like, we used to have in-person meetings before the pandemic, but now you need to go to the one on Pearl Street. So we went to the one on Pearl Street. We walked 20 minutes through the rain. They said, no, you can't do that. You got to call them up. So I called them up, and they said to go to an office on Christie Street. It's really fun. Please, by all means, get involved with the system. It works so well. So I didn't make it into an office yesterday, but I did get to go do some work at my studio with my friend Cassie, and Michael Rosen came in for a trial sewing lesson in which I learned actually quite a lot about what would be more effective.
Great.
For a sewing lesson. Yeah, I'm curious about starting to give kind of boutique duet sewing lessons or private sewing lessons. So if you are in the New York area and interested in learning to sew properly, you know, reach out, tell your friends, and perhaps soon I will have set up a system where I can do that.
Love that. That sounds very useful. If you want to sew your pants shut or put a curtain on a window or
absolutely.
Make a pillowcase or make a tote bag.
Also, Russell Jansen is giving private ballet lessons to people, so reach out to him.
Incredible.
If you have any interest in such a thing. So
wow.
We all have these really, really developed skills that we can share for a lot of money. Okay?
Yeah. If you have a lot of money to spend on yourself,
yeah.
Self-care.
Absolutely.
Self-care. Go to the spa, learn how to sew. Perfect.
All this
perfect.
To say, the point of my story was that in spending time with his wife yesterday at these
nightmare places.
Failed meetings.
Yeah.
She told me that she'd been out on Staten Island at the crematorium and had made a mask of my father's face.
Herself, because she's an artist.
She is an artist. She has an art practice.
She made a death mask.
She made it an actual death mask. Yeah, because she saw me yesterday at World Trade Center and she said, you and Kevin have the same nose because I just made a mask of his face.
This is incredible.
Oh my, isn't it amazing?
I didn't know this was a thing that you could just like go and hang out with. I assume like a cold room with a body in it or something. Or is it like in a drawer?
I'm not exactly sure and I'm not asking a lot
of questions. You don't want to encourage. It seems crazy, but...
Nope.
Everyone has their own process.
Absolutely. And like, honestly, if she feels compelled to like be near this corpse and interact with it in meaningful ways, great.
Yeah.
To help her in her grieving process, I think that's really good.
And she took care of him, so she should be able to do whatever she wants with that body.
She worked hard.
Bless her.
Anyways, I had such a nice weekend with you.
We visited,
Jack,
we didn't record a podcast or do anything.
We did not.
What are you going to do? Which is
there was nothing
correct.
To say. What were we going to talk about?
Well, it's also like, we could just talk about it. We don't have to share everything. We don't have to share everything with these people.
Yeah. We made lasagna.
We made the lasagna, which I made again without the anchovy. Which
okay.
I think something
sure it still
is lost, but it's delicious.
I had a thought about that.
What did you have? You have a substitute?
I think that you could put maybe like a tablespoon
capers?
Of miso.
Miso? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think that would really do the trick.
Yeah, my other thought was capers, but you know, some kind of like...
Capers are very salty note, but not necessarily like an umami note like anchovies. Yeah.
Okay.
But miso does that. That's a similar thing. Or just put like a teaspoon of MSG, quite frankly.
Absolutely. I mean, well, there's already sugar going in there, so.
Yeah. Anyways, it's a delicious lasagna, as evidenced by our lovely dinner party.
Yes. Although, you know, it is noodles and cheese, so...
You can't go wrong. You know,
I really used the miscellaneous leftover cheeses from the fridge, and I think resulted in the same effect. So.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Froze up portions.
I do love going by Marie's Cheese and saying, I'll have a pound of Fontina. It's just
very
like a
nice.
Good feeling to participate in food culture in that way and go to the meat store if you're eating meat. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't do that,
mm-hmm.
but when I got back from your home, I went to Cassie and Jesse's new apartment at Amalgamated.
Oh, they moved.
Yeah, they got kicked out of their place in Brooklyn and they got an apartment at Amalgamated. So it was a big mess.
Oh, right. This is where everyone lives.
Yeah.
Wow, they moved from that place into where everyone lives. That's incredible.
Yeah. And they're now one block away from Abrams, which is great for me.
That's so great.
Yeah. And so I have a set of keys.
Can they have a dinner party with Alex and Andrew and everyone and we'll come and we'll have a dinner?
Definitely. Definitely.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, we gotta do that. But anyways, Cassie had like that day gone to the fish market, and so I got to their house and we had a fish feast with delicious mussels and shrimp, and it was so nice.
Wow. You did a project together? You're working on a thing?
Yeah, I'm helping Cassie with bed skirt and drapes and stuff like that. But she's not methodical like me. She's very impatient.
Uh-huh.
So working with her at my studio, I did get very upset yesterday because I had sort of like laid out a path to success.
Uh-huh.
And then the next thing I know, I look away from what she's doing and she's like cutting willy-nilly into things and like creating what once were straight lines. She's turning them into chaos. And I'm like, oh my God.
This is also how you cook. It's very to the letter.
Yeah.
I'm like, whatever. It's like close enough. It's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is nice to follow the rules. And we made bad cookies not following the rules, I guess. But.
Yep. We went wrong.
So.
We tried to make a Claire Saffitz cookie, and it was one of the first recipes of hers that I made that did not work out. Well, but that's because we.
Yeah. No. I don't think she's to fault. I think from the video you get the kind of the sense that this isn't a great recipe, but
I agree.
But I also think following a video is not ideal. So I have written out the lasagna recipe, and maybe I'll share that on the Patreon.
Yeah, please just wrote do it down share,
so that the, you
share
know.
It with me as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that's a recipe to, you know, I made it again just to freeze the portions so that. On the fly, if one, you know, runs out of energy and just needs to, like, go into the freezer and eat something or whatever.
Something delicious and fortifying, really.
Yeah.
Tell me about... Oh, no, I was going to say, should we talk about the J-Lo thing?
Oh, yeah. This is me now. What is this called? I am here.
I think you're right, actually. This is me now.
You know, I watched far less of this than you and Jack.
I
got exhausted. But,
yeah.
It's really something. You know, I did at some point when I returned, I thought, I think this is, there's something happening here. I don't know what it is. But,
yeah.
But I think it's, you know, it's obviously... In, like, an obvious way, bad. But I think in a less obvious way, like, incredible and maybe, like, important in some way.
Maybe.
But, you know, I really didn't watch the whole thing, and,
I'm trying to think, like, are there other things of its kind? Like, hour-long narrative music videos.
Well, I think of, Solange doing, like, a kind of feature-length music video of sorts.
Right.
You know, Beyonce certainly has made these, like, concert-based or otherwise, you know, sort of...
But I do think what sets this one apart is that it has a very explicit through line, and it's very much just about one thing. It's about her relationship to love and partnership. Right. That's it. And it's really naive.
It is like a Marvel version of these other things.
Yeah. It's bad. And it is pretty ugly. And also the dancing is... I mean, she's gorgeous and she's a good dancer. But it's completely unimpressive choreographically.
It's a clown. It's Clown Town.
It's absolutely I don't know that
she's... I think she's aware of comedy in some way. But it's unclear how.
She's very serious about this film. And that feels clear.
Well, I think she's serious about that, like, I made it with my heart, you know.
Right. It's very sincere.
But that doesn't mean that there isn't some recognition of, like... I'm thinking of, like, the wedding dance seems absolutely...
On the rugs? Like,
in space, right?
In space on the rugs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Feels... Oh my god. But the most shocking thing to ever be seen is that wedding dress. The gas.
Oh, well that is... No, I have to say, if it had been more in that direction, I would have been like, this is an incredible thing. This is like disorienting... She is, in fact, wearing... There's a part where she gets married wearing a fit and flare dress that flares
fit
out sort of... Well, it's a sheet. It goes, you know... Well, the primary feature of this dress is that it has a cutout both above the crotch and directly below the crotch in the shape
mirrored
of
hearts. Mirrored hearts, right?
Yeah, and, like, only for about 2 inches is her vagina covered. And it's kind of like these huge cutouts pointing to her vagina.
It's shocking.
And it is an incredibly shocking and a dress one has never seen before.
No,
and so for
absolutely
that,
original. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's amazing. For that, I would watch the whole thing just to see that
but
crazy
I
dress.
Also think that rain dance is also what one might call shocking. In a
that
way.
That is a shocking dance. That looks like it was made by a child. And clearly in reference to Singing in the Rain, Gene Kelly. But without
wow.
actually... It's unbelievable. I don't know if she was struggling with slipping or something, but the level of kind of the rudimentary nature of that dance
yeah.
is tremendous.
See, that's
in a
what
way.
I can't, as someone who has performed in spectacular, you know, we're talking Super Bowl, we're talking music videos, it's hard for me to imagine that she didn't have a sense of what that choreography was.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think it's something worth seeing, bearing witness to, and I'm not
yeah.
sure why. But
well, it is confusing and disorienting, and it's like at a level of strange and bad that's like a curiosity.
Yeah, I mean, that glass house.
Wow, that was perhaps the most tedious part.
That's crazy. It's
well,
crazy. It's crazy.
And having all those 12 celebrities up there being the astrological signs,
uh-huh.
that was really humiliating, but was
quite,
the only only part that like brought some real comedy.
Right. Yeah. Some
because
some
Cardi
slaves.
B, not Cardi B, Keke Palmer. Keke Palmer has a tremendous scene. And Kim Petras really brings it home with the one-liners. So, for that, I say, bravo, Keke Palmer, you're an icon. Also, it's always nice to see Jane Fonda out there.
Absolutely.
Up
there in the sky, in the ring of...
Post Malone is cute.
Hi,
Mom. Who else is...
Nomi's here.
Mm.
That's everything I saw in that. So I don't know.
It's bad. But it was, I had a good time watching it.
Definitely worth pulling up and scrolling through Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
A curiosity for sure.
Okay. What else did we watch?
We tried to watch Wonka, but it doesn't come out until Friday. And I said, we're absolutely not paying for this.
I know. We were going to try to...
But then we did watch some of what the other one, the Tim Burton version, which was actually very good until they get into the thing and the CGI
know,
takes
that,
over.
That's ultimately the irony of that film is that what is kind of the boring part of the other version of the film is ultimately the excellent part of the Tim Burton film.
Mm.
And then once they're in the chocolate factory, which is the sensational part of the Gene Wilder film, this movie goes truly awry and becomes a video game, tedious video
yeah,
game.
Yeah, and I think it almost describes the trajectory of Tim Burton's career. That, like,
yes.
without the CGI, there's, like, so
excellent.
Many wonderful, charming, fantastic
oh, yeah.
experiences to be had. And then as soon as CGI enters, it just, like, turns everything into bad, plastic, garbage movie.
Yeah. There's something that's uncapturable about the kind of tactile, sculptural nature of his production design. And
yeah.
so, like, once you try to put it into computer, it's bad boots. It's bad.
Yeah.
But Freddie Highmore is just wonderful. And Johnny Depp has a couple funny moments.
The whole Johnny Depp character in that is so plastic. Like, that's, you know, he, like, there's something they have to do to, like, bridge the CGI world. Like, they, you know, it's just, it turns everything
weird.
Bad.
Yeah.
It was surprising to see
good.
The beginning and see how, like, good it was.
Oh,
so.
Helena Bonham Carter. You know, that it's so great. And the house. And
yeah.
It's
you're like,
good.
Stay impoverished, please.
Yeah. I mean,
so there was
that.
I guess
that movie was quite a while ago,
mm-hmm.
as it turns out.
Like,
because the choice to cast the children almost as like doppelgangers of the original Gene Wilder film, is that wouldn't happen today. They would have to diversify the cast, and it seems like such an obvious shift to diversify the cast of this movie. It'd be so easy, but they just didn't do it. It's just so crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways, what else did we do? We went on a lovely walk. We saw Lindsay Clark.
It was very, I mean, it's as sleepy as it is. It's just like...
It was sleepy. I did some embroidery.
It's incredible. Incredible things happening. Dimensions. Yeah. Dimensions.
The dimensions. I went to line dance last night, and I have to say, like, right before I left to go to line dance, I had this feeling like, this is one of the first times where I, like, don't really feel like going.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah, but I just put on my shoes and got out the door and got there, and then it was one of the greatest
times.
I just got soaking wet right away because it was really hot in the room, and I was just flowing through. It was one of the best.
Incredible. How these things happen like this.
Yeah. I felt really good about that. Is there anything else? Was there a dance show that I saw?
I have no idea, but I just remembered that we were gonna do our Oscar predictions, but we didn't do that together.
Why don't we do it?
But
let's just talk through it, shall we?
I know there was a list. I'm trying to find a list.
I know you texted it to me. Let me find it. Okay, so we're about to begin our Oscar prediction segment.
Oscar predictions, because I think that they're happening soon? I don't know.
Yeah, they're this Sunday.
Yeah, so then it has to happen now. Okay.
Okay, do you want me to just read to you, or you already have it up?
Yeah, you probably have to read to me.
Okay. Performance by an actor in a leading role. Our choices are Bradley Cooper in Maestro, Colman Domingo in Rustin, which I did not see, Paul Giamatti in The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy in Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright in American Fiction.
I guess Jeffrey Wright.
I choose Jeffrey Wright or Colman.
That's who I would choose. Who do I think is going to win?
Yeah, I also choose, even though I didn't see Colman Domingo in Rustin, but I did see him in The Color Purple, so I choose Colman Domingo.
I don't think people saw that movie, so I don't think he's going to win.
But... Right. He won't win, but that's my choice. And then who will win?
I think Jeffrey Wright might win.
I think Jeffrey Wright will win as well.
Interesting.
Yes. Okay. Performance by an actor in a supporting role. Sterling K. Brown, American Fiction. Robert De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon. Robert Downey Jr., Oppenheimer. Ryan Gosling, Barbie. Mark Ruffalo, Poor Things.
I would like to see Mark Ruffalo win this category, but I think that Robert Downey Jr. will win for sure.
Because Robert Downey Jr. doesn't have an Oscar yet, does he?
I don't think so, and I think he's a kind of beloved figure.
Yeah.
Who does an incredible job in this movie that's not good.
He actually is very good in Oppenheimer and unrecognizable. So I will too say that Robert Downey Jr. will win the Academy Award, and you know, I think that between him and Mark Ruffalo, they should both win it. You know, like they could both win it.
He'll be happy.
I don't think one is better than the other.
I really enjoyed Mark Ruffalo's performance in Poor Things. I think it was the best part of that movie, and I think it was like a very different Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's true. And it was a very different Robert Downey Jr.
Absolutely.
Much more subdued.
I just think I felt a lot of pleasure from the performance of Poor Things.
I thought Sterling K. Brown's performance was theater, and I don't understand why Ryan Gosling is in this category. But
Barbie.
Ryan Gosling did give an energetic performance in Barbie.
Box office.
Yeah, and I didn't see Killers of the Flower Moon, and that's okay.
Wait, who's nominated there?
Robert De Niro.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Performance by an actress in a leading role. Annette Bening for Naiad. Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon. Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall. Carrie Mulligan for Maestro. Emma Stone in Poor Things. Now, I didn't see Lily Gladstone. I will say that all four of these women did a very good job in all of these movies.
Absolutely. I think if I had to take someone out of this, I would take Emma Stone out.
Yes, me as well. It's a kind of like...
It's an impossible child.
It's a monotonous performance, I would say.
Yeah.
I don't think Carrie Mulligan will win. I think she is good.
I think it's an excellent performance.
I think it's going to be between Lily Gladstone and Sandra Hüller, even though I think Annette Bening is tremendous in Naiad.
I would say that my choice for, like, I mean, we were just talking about how incredible that Naiad scenario is.
She is really very good in this movie.
I don't even think this is Lily Gladstone's best performance. I think she's... Right. You know, I her performance in Certain Women was so tremendous. I'm like... This movie... I don't know. I think she will win.
Okay.
It's not like a thrilling performance or movie for me. So
I didn't see it, and so I also think Lily Gladstone will win just based on what's been happening. But for me, and this is crazy, but for me, I think it's Annette Bening.
I know it's weird because it's not really the kind of movie that, but it is like for me it's Naomi Watts in The Impossible.
Yeah.
Like, this is like literally like an impossible performance to do.
Yeah, there was something just like really energetically incredible about what she does in Naiad.
Yeah, the physical
demands
of it.
Okay, performance by an actress in a supporting role. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Emily Blunt in Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks in The Color Purple, America Ferrera in Barbie, Jodie Foster in Naiad, and Divine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers. Well, I think this is an easy category because
well, we know
it seems
how
as
you
if
feel about this.
They're going to give it to Divine Joy Randolph, which
oh,
I
really?
Thought I did. Oh, yeah. I thought it was a very, very medium performance. I did see The Holdovers. I did not care for it. And I think Danielle Brooks deserves an Oscar for The Color Purple.
Yeah, I didn't really watch enough of that movie to, like, have... But I absolutely trust your opinion on that. I don't think the Jodie Foster role is, like, anything.
No, she's good, but no.
Who else do we have?
America Ferrera. Emily Blunt. She's very good in Oppenheimer, too. It's a very serious kind of performance.
I thought her performance really worked for me in that movie.
Yeah.
But I don't... Yeah, I don't think it's a memorable performance of any kind, so...
No.
Yeah, it's a strange category, because I'm like, May, December, I think
Isn't
they were both...
that unbelievable?
I think they were both supporting roles, strangely.
Now,
and
it's truly insane that we're not seeing acting nominations for May, December.
It's crazy.
It's really insane. And here we see... America Ferrera. And I'm sorry, even though Jodie Foster, that performance doesn't need to be a nomination.
It's not worthy.
No.
We love,
and
adore,
honestly,
obsessed, but like, no.
Yes, of course. Anyways.
So, yeah,
okay.
It's okay.
Well, now you know how we feel. Okay, best animated feature film of the year. Now,
seen any of these.
Nope.
Let's hear them.
So let's just not... Oh, the Boy and the Heron,
Never
Elemental,
don't know.
Nimona, Robot Dreams, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Okay, moving on.
I think The Boy and the Heron will win because it's Miyazaki and it's, like, artistic.
Well, then I hope it wins. How about that?
Yep. Okay. Cinematography. El Conde.
Oh, I kind of want to do this without even... Cinematography... without knowing the nominees, what would
it
be?
Oh, okay.
I think...
Well, Zone of Interest, or... Oh, no, I know. That cold movie. The Snow, Society of Snow.
No. I mean, it's hard, but, like, it's so conventional. But that's what the Academy Awards are for. That's right. That's true. You're right. I talked myself out of it.
That movie is not nominated. And you're like, what? Maybe it's best for...
Here's my thing. I kind of think that foreign films should have a category and not be involved otherwise.
Well, they do.
Or they should be like, or we should be thinking about this in a completely different way.
Yeah,
you know.
True.
So
okay, let me talk you through these people. Okay?
Oh, and then we should talk about the choreographer thing.
Oh right, right. El Conde. I've never heard of it. Mm-mm. Do you know what that is?
No.
Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Well.
So I actually think Maestro would be my choice here, of these options.
Even though it has that one aggravating shot at the beginning.
Aggravating? What do you mean?
The one where they, like, go from, you know, they go over Carnegie Hall.
The CGI
very, like,
kind of thing.
Yeah,
but I'm sort of, like, I'm sort of here for it.
All right.
You know, like, it's repeated, that kind of thing, but not, like, overdone. I think it's a very, like, sensitively thoughtful cinematography.
Right. I think Oppenheimer will win, but I think you're right, Maestro should win.
Oppenheimer is not a movie that is thoughtfully shot. The movie is completely a construction in the edit room. It's why I didn't like that movie.
Yeah.
So, no thank you. But, you know.
Heute wenn heute mal. They're gonna win.
Excuse
me? Anyways, that's the person who shot it.
Well,
okay. Achievement in costume design. Now, I think we know.
Poor Things.
Well, okay. We have Barbie, Jacqueline Duren, Killers of the Flower Moon, Jacqueline West. Oh,
interesting.
It's a competition with the Jacqueline. Napoleon, Jan T. Yates, and
Did
Dave
anyone
Crossman.
See that movie?
Not one person. Oppenheimer, Ellen Mirojnik, and Poor Things, Holly Waddington. Now, I'm going to do a write-in here with Passages, which should win, but Poor Things probably will win, or Barbie.
I think it's actually between Poor Things and Killers of the Flower Moon.
Really?
Yeah. Because I think they really did the work to, like...
Oh, well, of course, but all these people worked hard, let me tell you what.
Yeah, but it's different. So, that's all.
I do think that in this modern world, Barbie has a chance because there was lots of fun costumes. It was inventive and colorful.
Yeah, I also don't know the, like, power dynamics of, like, these people and, like, what they've done, who they know, which all of those things factor in.
I do think that Poor Things will win. And what I have to say about this category is that I think that there needs to be some more expansive thinking about what is costume design, because it is clear from this category that you either have to design a period film or a fantasy film. So there is no representation in this category for, like, contemporary clothing design, which I think is its own kind of skill.
But so, anyway. I think that's true. But I also want to, like, continue to think about, like, Hollywood. Like, that's what the Academy Awards are about, Hollywood, to me. They're about, like, a kind of technological advancement in craft. And I don't know that, like, clothes you can buy or, like, styling is that. I absolutely think on an artistic level that, like, finding the best, most, like, expressive costume for a character to wear is, like, the art of costume design, you know?
Right.
Like, what is this movie and, like, how do we express these characters and, like, the idea of the film through costume? I think that's what you're saying, and I think that's absolutely it. But I don't think that's what the center of the Academy Awards is or should be. Like, I think that it's about, like, a Hollywood craft. That's why I have this idea of, like, the foreign films thing, where I'm like, I'm not sure what the Academy Awards are, but my thinking of it has been through this kind of Hollywood craftsmanship thing.
You know, Nell, I think the costumes for Society of Snow were excellent. Okay. I'm just saying things I liked. Things I liked.
No, I think that's valid.
Achievement in directing.
Okay.
Anatomy of a Fall. Killers of the Flower Moon. Oppenheimer. Poor Things. The Zone of Interest. Well, we all know what we want.
Right.
So, obviously, Zone of Interest should win. Jonathan Glazer is visionary.
Yeah.
Who will win? Christopher Nolan.
So, this is where I would plant a flag where I'm like, Scorsese is kind of the height of Hollywood craftsmanship.
Yeah.
And I do not believe in Christopher Nolan.
But a lot of people do.
So, like, whatever. I do think it will probably win. And... yeah, I would say that I thought that Killers of the Flower Moon was a much better movie overall. Whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, Jonathan Glazer's for us, or at least for me, a runaway.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the direction of Poor Things is also incredible.
Very good. Beautiful film.
Like, okay. And visionary.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, who will win this category is not the person deserving of the award. Okay. Best documentary feature film. I didn't see any of these. Bobby Wine.
They're always like really hard political documentaries. Which
Eternal Memory.
Like, great.
Four Daughters. To Kill a Tiger. And 20 Days in Mariupol. Well, I've heard of 20 Days in Mariupol, so I bet that one will win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess.
So that's
as well.
My pick. Yeah, okay, great. Best documentary short film, The ABCs of Book Banning, The Barber of Little Rock, Island in Between, The Last Repair Shop, and Nai Nai and Weipo.
Best of luck to all the nominees.
Best of luck to them. Achievement in film editing.
So here we are. Sure, editing. Give it to Oppenheimer. Like, this is a movie that is made out of editing.
Yeah. So, but the other people who won't win are Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, and Poor Things.
Sure. I mean...
The Holdovers? I mean, that is banana boat. That has an editing nomination. I'm like, for what? Anyway.
For editing, they put that movie together.
They sure did.
Okay.
Oh my god. Okay. Best international feature film of the year. Okay, here we go. Yo Capitano. Didn't see it. Perfect Days.
Didn't see it.
I didn't see that, but it looked good. Society of the Snow. Beautiful.
Netflix.
The Teacher's Lounge, nope. Germany. Don't know that. The Zone of Interest, United Kingdom. Haunting. So here we are. This is interesting, right? I wonder if they'll give it to Zone of Interest.
I don't know. I really don't know how these things work.
As a consolation prize, right?
Well, I think... No, I mean, this is a thing. I don't understand it. This is where I'm like, either they're... These things should be, I don't know. I don't understand how the structuring of like international films, like.
Right. Because it also has a best picture nomination.
But also like Poor Things is what? Like, what is that movie? That's a Hollywood
like,
movie?
Zone of Interest
Tell me, everyone.
Is representing the country United Kingdom.
Right. Because
and
that's
like, wait,
where Jonathan Glazer. But like,
since when does England get to be a... international, it used to be best foreign language film, I have to say.
Right.
And now it's called best international feature film.
Right. So
and you're like,
Zone
of Interest is a foreign language film, but it is from England. Very confusing. Anyways,
I think it'll go
to Zone of Interest.
I don't know.
I think it'll go to Zone of Interest, but it should go to Society of the Snow, and
no.
Zone of Interest should just Yes, because Zone of Interest should win Best Picture. It shouldn't win Best International Film.
Well, it's... Yeah, I mean, Again, I don't know about any of that. Like, how is Poor Things not an international film? I don't know.
Because it was shot on a soundstage in Los Angeles. Okay.
No, it wasn't. They shot it in, like, Bucharest or something. You know, some...
Well, they always do that.
Yeah, so like, what does it mean? What does it all mean?
I don't know. Nobody knows. Okay, you know none of this means anything. Not in our life. Okay. Achievement in makeup and hairstyling. That's fun. Golda.
Excuse
Have
me?
Have you heard of that? Golda is a movie.
Okay. Golda.
Never heard of it.
Best of luck.
Maestro. So that's... A nose. The nose. And wigs, obviously. Wigs. Okay, Oppenheimer, so that's just old age makeup.
Uh-huh.
Robert Downey Jr. was unrecognizable, I have to say. Okay, Poor Things.
Incredible.
Which is a long wig. And then
what's his name? Willem Dafoe.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. Yeah. And then Society of the Snow. Now,
I mean,
I would give it to them because that is absolutely unbelievable that they did that cold, frozen, dead makeup and teeth, and it was insane.
Also, think and of like,
on a huge scale, and it looked absolutely convincing.
And dealing with continuity and
continuity. Oh my
Give
god!
Give it to them.
So they did an amazing job. They did a real.
Do we
they
think
did
it will
work.
Go to them?
I think it will go to, this is so crazy, but it might go to Maestro because that guy Kazuhiro did the prosthetics and he's now extremely famous for doing these transformations. So
we don't know.
It might go to Maestro. Okay. Achievement in music written for motion pictures. This is original score, the score as a whole.
Okay.
American Fiction. Don't remember.
It didn't register at all.
Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny by John Williams. Okay, that's a throwback. And you know what? This will be his, like, 100th Academy Award nomination, and he is 100 years old. So that would be fun, you know?
We don't need
it. Okay, Killers of the Flower Moon, Robbie Robertson. No idea.
Uh-huh.
Oppenheimer, Ludwig Göransson. Now, I thought that Hans Zimmer did these Christopher Nolan movies, but that's wrong.
Okay.
I think that this Ludwig person is good. I mean, the Christopher Nolan movies do have amazing
sound
scores. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Poor Things.
I think.
Erskine Fendricks.
Fully Poor Things. Poor Things music is so bananas. It is like.
Yeah, that was fun.
It's incredible.
Okay. I think they're going to do a like. Fun, let's get John Williams up on stage.
Do you think he'll be there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. I think he knows that this is like the last. Yeah. And they're going to get him up on stage and then, but Poor Things deserves to win.
Okay. I think it could be Oppenheimer.
Yeah, that's true.
But
okay, Achievement in Music Written for Motion Pictures. This is a song, and they've nominated many people.
Billie Eilish for Barbie.
That's going to win, for sure. The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot. Never heard of it. Oh, no, there's only 5 songs. I'm Just Ken from Barbie. Fuck them. Music, It Never Went Away from American Symphony.
Oh, uh-huh.
Do you know what that is? What's American
That's
Symphony?
That's a documentary. Right?
I don't know.
With John Baptiste?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Vajaja, A Song for My People from Killers of the Flower Moon.
Gorge.
What Was I Made For Will Win by Billie Eilish, and I think it's actually a good song.
I do too. I think she's actually very talented. I love the music
talented.
The beginning of True Detective as well.
I think. Best Motion Picture of the Year. Here we go. And the many nominees are American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest.
What a crazy scenario.
Yeah.
Right, so The Zone of Interest is clearly like the most singular visionary movie here. which is fine. I'm not sure that it should even be nominated.
Right.
Just because of, like, international or whatever, however right. these things work.
And Oppenheimer will win.
Oppenheimer will win.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, normal. And yeah. what do I think... For me, the question is, what do I think should win outside of Zone of Interest? And I... I'm not sure. Well, not Oppenheimer.
The only movies here that are that are sort of interesting to me in terms of that question are Past Lives and Poor Things.
Past Lives is not substantial.
I disagree because I think it does something really powerful in a really quiet way.
Sure. I think it's a great little movie.
Yeah.
I don't think it's doing anything in terms of all the things I talked about in terms of, like, costumes or cinematography or sound or music or acting or, you know, literally, like, it can't really win any of the categories.
No.
But yes, but it's a powerful little film uses like the basic...
I think that Greta Lee certainly should be in that list of Best Actress nominees, and for my money, she might be the winner.
Wow. I think it's a perfect performance for like a perfect little movie. That's all, you know? You know, I wish... Like, a million more of these movies would be made, absolutely, about, like, a million different things. I think it's great.
I mean,
sensitive.
Of all the movies this year, that was the one that, like, stepped the most into my heart, you know?
I think American whatever that movie's called, I can't even think of it.
Fiction?
Would be my choice, actually. Because
incredible.
I think it is, like, a really strong Hollywood movie about movies and about America.
I love that.
And about, like, you know, and I think it's, like, I think it's a lot of strong, like, yeah, I mean, the problem is, it's, like, I can't really imagine it winning anything either.
No.
You know, individually, but I do think it's strong in, like, a lot of, and the, you know, what it does with sort of genre ideas and, like, Hollywood and movie making and whatever. I think it's great, and I think it's like a complicated mix of comedy and dealing with heavy material. So Dune 2, you know?
Yeah, that'll be next year.
We haven't seen it. We're not ignoring it. It's gonna happen.
No.
Reed has a plan.
It's out.
And we're going to talk about it probably for a whole episode.
Year. Two and a half years.
2 years.
Okay.
2 years.
Achievement in production design. We love this category.
Poor Things.
Well, yeah. Barbie, they did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Although I thought it was a bit sanitized, but yes, Barbie.
Pretty one-to-one.
Yep. Killers of the Flower Moon, did not see it. But I guess it looks good in the trailers.
I was really inspired by her house. I thought it was very beautiful inside, very black interior.
Now, Napoleon is filtered.
Is it AI-generated movie? No one's seen
this movie. I don't
know,
but it's Ridley Scott, and it has that patina that, like, Gladiator has, you know, that, like, where everything is tinted.
Uh-huh.
Which can be very beautiful. I've not seen it. I'm sure it was very expensive.
Well, watch it when it's free somewhere.
Yeah. Okay, Oppenheimer. I think the production design is nice in Oppenheimer. Obviously, all of the interiors and the costume, it looks good. It looks...
Yeah, Oppenheimer and Maestro can, like, you know, they just did the job.
Sure. Although I have to say, Oppenheimer, the kind of period production design has, like, feels more real than Maestro, which felt very, like, well, we just built this.
Well, Maestro is a movie about theater, and Oppenheimer is like a science movie. So I feel like they follow those universes.
True. Codes.
Of information,
And then we have Poor Things, which actually is an absolute feat of production design.
I mean,
and I do,
wow.
I imagine they'll give it to Poor Things because it's sort of undeniable.
It's undeniable. It's why you want that movie to be the best movie. It's not, yeah. Unfortunately. But
no.
Like it.
No.
It has a container to be the best
movie. It's virtue. So. It's virtuosic. It's design wise. Completely relentless. I mean, it's sort of the only thing, you know? Okay, best animated short film. Here we go. Category never heard of it. Letter to a Pig, 95 Senses, Our Uniform, Pachyderm, War is Over. Good luck to all of you.
I really hope Letter to a Pig wins.
Yeah. Best live action short film, The After, Invincible, Knight of Fortune, Red, White, and Blue, The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. Now, I did watch that on Netflix.
Oh.
Yeah, it's Wes Anderson.
Oh. Okay.
I couldn't tell you if I tried, but I saw The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. Okay, so that's all I have to add to that.
Great.
Achievement in Sound.
Yeah, well, it's not of interest.
The Creator, never heard of it. Maestro, that did have a lot of sounds. Mission Impossible.
Okay.
Didn't see it.
Is that the one with the, what is her name from Dune and Dune 2?
Rebecca Ferguson?
Is she in that one?
Lea Seydoux?
Oh my God, everyone's in every movie. Anyway, continue.
Anyways, Mission Impossible, sorry.
No, she was, Lea Seydoux was in the Bond movie.
Whatever.
I know.
She's great. She's gorgeous. Okay. I like that Bond movie. Okay. Mission Impossible. Oppenheimer and The Zone of Interest. Now, I would not be surprised if Oppenheimer gets it. Zone of Interest deserves it. Obviously, it's a movie about sound, so maybe this will be its category.
Yeah. We'll see. This is definitely one to watch for me. I'm very curious how that plays out.
I don't think the Academy has creative enough voters to give it to Zone of Interest, so I'm going to say they're going to give it to Oppenheimer, but Zone of Interest deserves it.
I agree.
Visual effects. The Creator. Here we go again. Now, why do we not know what that is? What is that? What is that?
The Creator.
I'll
look
it
up while you continue to read.
Okay. Godzilla Minus One, which I heard was good.
What?
I heard it was good. It's a Japanese film. Okay. Guardians of the Galaxy.
The Creator is this, like, sci-fi movie.
Okay,
a 2023 American science fiction action film directed and co-produced by Gareth Edwards. That doesn't tell us anything about.
What happened to it? 15
years after artificial intelligence set off a nuclear detonation in Los Angeles, which started a war of humans against AI. Blah, blah, blah.
I want to see
John
this.
David Washington, Gemma Chan.
No idea.
Ken Watanabe.
I want to see this movie.
Sturgeon.
Is it like, did it just come out, or why do we not know about it?
I remember seeing a trailer for this, and I actually thought that it looked good.
Well, I would like to see it.
I don't know what happened. Box office of $104 million, so
wow.
It did fine.
Okay, Achievement in Visual Effects, The Creator, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission Impossible, and Napoleon.
So this is like a big box office category.
I'm going to go ahead and say Godzilla. Didn't see it, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
I saw Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. It was so long, so boring. Okay. Godzilla Minus One is my pick. Okay. Adapted Screenplay. American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest.
Wow, this is
now
hard.
The Zone of Interest has, as a screenplay...
It was based on a book.
Right. I mean, certainly choreographically very compelling. Now,
can you
in terms
say
of
the
like,
list again?
Yeah. American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things... And The Zone of Interest. So maybe American Fiction.
Yeah, it's the most, like, substantial script of a sort. But I don't know if we're being a little too basic, you know? So I don't know.
Well, Zone of Interest, really. I mean, anyways.
But also, like, is the award for the adaptation?
Right, because right? I didn't read any
Because I suspect that American Fiction was probably the most...
Direct translation, yeah.
So I kind of feel like the zone of interest is probably a pretty, like, different thing. And yeah. I also think that Poor Things was pretty...
Changed.
Changed. Oppenheimer, I think, is pretty much what a book was, you know, diced up with some explosions and stuff.
Right. I'm like, did anyone say anything in Oppenheimer? Yeah, they did, but I forgot. Okay. Original screenplay. Anatomy of a Fall. The Holdovers. Maestro. May December. Past Lives. Well, we have to give it to May December because it's the only nomination, you know, and it's a great film.
My thought here was Past Lives.
Oh, we love... Thank you.
You know,
you,
I do feel... Because I feel like... did Celine Sciamma write that?
Celine Song?
Oh, yeah, is that her name? Wait, who's Celine?
Yeah.
Who's that other? Is that a person? Sciamma? Who? I think that's, if maybe, I don't know. Let me know.
An artist?
A French director, maybe?
Who knows? Past Lives written past by lives.
Celine Song.
Song.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I like that. I like that because it does feel like such a cohesive story direction thing. Obviously May December is incredible.
Yeah. I think the Academy will give it to Anatomy of a Fall.
Okay.
But I do love this idea of past lives. I have to say that you brought up. I do love that. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Okay.
That's it.
That's it.
That's
great.
The end of the. That's the end of the list.
Good luck to everyone.
Good luck to all of you.
Good luck to all.
Best
of you.
Luke.
So the other thing to talk about was this article. Did you have a chance to read it by chance?
I did not.
Should an Academy Award?
I was reading Martha Graham.
Well, I guess we know your take. Reed doesn't care. and we did sort of already talk about this, so I don't know how interesting this is, but
we did.
We couldn't help ourselves. And my take is that I don't think that choreography is on the same plane as these other things that are essential to movie making. Like,
right, they just don't exist in all films.
Right. So, like, there's sound or not sound or whatever, you know, a relationship to sound in every movie. There's editing. There's cinematography.
Right.
There's.
It seems like the Oscars looks at the things that are integral to all films. Which choreography is, if you're looking at it in a more abstract manner, yes, of course, like, any kind of movement of the camera or of bodies is a kind of choreography, but that we can also just call direction. If they're making a category for, like, dance steps as choreography, those don't exist in many, many films. Right.
Yeah. So I guess we're on the same page since we already talked about this.
Yeah. But I didn't know what you pointed out to me is that there has been a category for
choreography. Yeah, apparently according to this article in the New York Times, for 3 years there were, like, in the, I think I want to say the 30s. Which I think is about like musicals. And that's the thing. It's like, I do think for, like, a Tony Award, I do, for musicals, I think choreography is an essential part of the musical form.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. Do Definitely. I think that there should, you know, should, I don't know. There, like, yes, it'd be nice if dance could be acknowledged more.
Yeah.
But
I also think the Oscars should feel free to give out a special award every now and then.
Absolutely. And they have given out, you know, honorary awards to, you know, there's a list of, like, maybe five or so, like, you know, a Jerome Robbins or a, you know.
I don't think it necessarily needs to be about, like, body of work. I think it could be like, wow, you made an incredible dance in a film. Like, we're going to give you a special statuette, a half size Oscar, you know?
Yes. Like the,
whatever.
You know, Snow White.
Yeah, cute. Yeah. Okay, Martha Graham. Let's get to it.
Okay. So, we read a bunch of pages about a bunch of stuff.
Now, I have to say, in this chapter 10, which I believe is the most recent one we read.
Okay. Aaron into the Maze, working through war and love, Eric arrives.
I felt misled.
I did too. I was really, and then I was like, okay, Eric arrives. You really meant that. Like,
yeah, she really meant, we're going to, on the last page, be like, Eric Hawkins is here. And you're like, no, that needs to be the beginning of the chapter.
Yeah. But then it's the next chapter, Enter the Men. Yeah.
I am tiring, and I think things are about to change, but
bored.
I am definitely tiring of these lists of described dances.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, I need to know more about what they're eating. You know what I mean? I need to know more about,
I need
like,
a scene.
What is the apartment?
I need
a,
like where, what's happening?
Like, such a relief to hear this part about her fucking this 19-year-old, and at least you get a sense of, like, a description of her nightgown and the narrow bed, and you're like, yes, let's go. I want to know something of this woman. I just can't continue to hear about her accomplishments.
Right.
Like,
and
maybe,
then I think, is there just no, like, are there not letters or, like, a journal or, you know, I did know that she's, like, she burned a lot of her diaries and stuff at the end.
But
like,
sure,
there are letters.
A lot. Yeah, and there's, like, all this stuff we're hearing about her life obviously can come from other people and the interviews done with the people who danced
right.
with her or her lovers or whomever. But I'm like, we need to really bump that component of this book up. And
yes.
I am absolutely now exhausted of reading descriptions of dances.
Me too.
I don't
mean this as like a critique of this book because I don't think I'm the audience for this book, and I'm really feeling like that's true, and I'm becoming resentful that I decided to have us read this book. so like, you know, I think maybe someone reading a book about Martha Graham wants to know about these dances. I do not want to read descriptions of these dances is what I've learned, and I you know, that's a lesson that I've learned, and
yeah,
I feel like I did want to say I think we need to take a break because
I
can't read another chapter of this book right now.
I feel there's just another way, you know, and I'm now curious to read another, well, not right now, but like to read a different Martha Graham biography to see how it's approached.
Well,
because
we could read the autobiography, you know.
That's true. That would be interesting. But I'm also curious to read this, like, book that comes about during these chapters that is written
right.
In collaboration with all these other artists
right.
and has these illustrations by this teenager that she's fucking. And I'm like, I want to see that book.
Right.
This book, I don't know.
Absolutely. I think we're on the same page. I did like the thing about it comes at the end of this chapter or somewhere, about the composer who's in prison for fucking the 17-year-old.
Yeah.
Which I thought was
like a
wild thing in relationship to what Martha's doing, but also that they like still go and visit him in prison and that he's still making this dance music and like the way that he's made it, I think is really fascinating.
Yeah, and he's being radical in his like approach to composition.
Mm-hmm.
and also basically probably really like Henry Cowell is this person's name. Coming up with, like, very modernist ideas of composition while imprisoned for gay sex. And statutory rape, let's be clear.
Yes. We're not suggesting sex with 17-year-olds, I guess.
No.
Unless you're 16.
Definitely. Definitely.
Is that how that works?
Absolutely. No, please. If you're 16, definitely have sex with a 17-year-old.
I don't know how these age things... You know, isn't it weird to think about 16, 17, 18, and then, like, 21 and legalities?
These rules about sex are, like, they don't really work out, you know, because everyone's different, but...
Well, it gets especially weird because what... Is it 16? I feel like maybe the age varies.
I don't know if it's 16 or 17. Either way, that person's real young.
Absolutely. But I'm thinking more so about, not like, you know, like a 45-year-old. I'm thinking about like 16 and 17-year-olds or 18-year-olds or whatever. Like, and like the legality of like a birthday. One day you're in, the next day you're out. Kind of dynamic.
Totally.
And I don't know, Martha, like, is there gray
Martha's
area?
Martha's not in jail. She's
well,
fucking
right,
a 19-year-old
right. well,
boy, you know?
Right. And that's, like, not what I'm talking about in this moment, but, you know. Yeah, I also think these, like, older women, younger men dynamics get treated differently, which is what my feeling was in this, of, like, that dynamic... Reading about this, like, love affair, and then this guy in prison a few pages later. It's like...
Yeah. I liked that juxtaposition as well. There's also some,
I felt crazy, but there seems to be... So she says the thing about politeness and leaving the bathroom clean again.
Yes.
Did you catch that?
Wait. Yes, ladies need to behave like ladies.
Why is that repeated in this book? It made me feel crazy.
I also found a typo.
Well, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
Also, like, a repetition's fine, too. I'm just, like, it made me feel... I was like, did I somehow read this page already?
Now, I actually want to read this typo because I want to know if I'm wrong.
Oh, okay. Where is it?
Okay. It's on page 169, right at the bottom.
You guys, we're looking for typos.
And no, I mean, look, if anyone who had anything to do with this book is listening, maybe this is interesting to you, and maybe in a future edition it can be, I'm sure it's been caught if it is indeed a typo. The sentence says, "This woman, so dedicated to carving out her path, has suddenly had another attack of girlish glee."
Yeah, it's typo.
Right, so... If you are involved in future publications of this book, you need to remove the word "and." Bottom of 169. Okay, that's all. No other. I have no other typo.
No other notes. I think typos are should be allowed for and anticipated and suspected.
Definitely
constant
first edition.
Like,
this is a first edition.
Everywhere is another thing.
I actually have a lot of things underlined and starred during these two chapters because it's, you know, this is the kind of build up to her kind of having a ubiquitous American name.
Right.
You know, she's going to the White House. All these famous artists are like writing glowing things about her contributions to the world of art and developing this idea of the modern American dance. Lincoln Kirstein is on board. He's obsessed with American...
Woman.
Document.
I don't know. What
American document. And also, you know, she's teaming up with these artists who are becoming very famous because she's savvy and she understands that, like, being in conversation with Alexander Calder, though, like, there is some, like, critical negativity towards their collaboration.
Well, she's savvy, but I also think her work is founded on collaboration. Like,
definitely.
The rub between these forms is, like, kind of central to, like, the Louis Horst universe of art, think.
She continues to involve herself in plays, though, like, perhaps it's not the thing she's most interested in, but she knows it will situate her next to, you know, it'll find her new audiences. Mm-hmm. Let's see. She's exploring these, like, themes of American hope because we're, like, moving into World War II now and people are becoming very activated.
Yeah, I think the way that, politics and being pressured to use to like engage politically is interesting. And her,
yes,
Martha's comment about like, if I have something to say, I'll say it in a lecture. It's,
right,
it's interesting, and it does seem that she goes on to then do lectures, you know, where she talks,
yeah,
more politically.
But she also gets pushed towards being a bit more explicit in,
yeah,
her dances.
In the
and
descriptions,
she makes
too.
This piece, American Document, that has these, like, that has poems read,
uh-huh,
between
talking
the sections, and there's talking. What is this? Political.
This
imperative.
Is a theater. The place is here in the United States of America. The time is,
yes,
now.
Yes.
Tonight.
The time is now. I like the introduction of Merce Cunningham right towards the end of,
yes,
this as being a fangirl. He is,
yes, fangirling.
So excited about Martha Graham. He can't wait to get involved. And as we know, he will soon enough.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I like this line.
Anyways.
From a 1935 performance where they say something about costumes. I do love all the descriptions of costumes and sets. I think it's like, it's a very, I think Deborah Jowett is honoring the universe of aesthetics and visual arts,
mm-hmm,
in this book in a way that I think is really nice and appropriate.
Yeah.
And there's like enough. Someone says, the costumes deemed contemporary have grown out of the modern dance's attitude towards movement, rather from attitudes and patterns in the dance.
Yeah.
So it's just saying that Martha is using these costumes as like art objects,
uh-huh,
in a way to like, that participates in like the kinetic action of dance,
right,
as opposed to being like, this costume is about the dance, you know?
Or about the, what the dance
the story
is about.
Of the dance.
Yeah.
Right. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I have a lot underlined, but it just, I think we've expressed our misgivings and kind of the thrust of these chapters.
Yeah, and
I don't think?
I don't really feel like my misgivings are about this book. It's just more of like a realization of like, I don't know that a biography is something that I'm very interested in right now. You know, I think that there's even like an autobiography is more compelling because the writing is revealing something in itself about like,
yeah,
what the person wants to talk about, how they want to talk about it, and what they don't want to talk about. Here, I'm just like, I don't care enough about the facts of the matter. Where I do care more is like, when like a more like bigger social scenario is expressed, or like an artistic, like philosophical dynamic, or yeah, something more human and dynamic in that,
yeah,
way. So
I want recollections of interactions, personal interactions. I need more story and
humanity,
less
and less dance
history. Yeah.
Dance description.
More story, please. Now, the next chapter is called Enter the Men. So, I like that.
I have mixed feelings about it, but yes, we suspect to get some more of this love affair and, yeah, and the men, including Merce Cunningham. So that's,
yes,
interesting. Yeah, I mean, I'm curious, like, where this goes. I guess I'm just going to jump to the end and see, like, to combat
the
onslaught
men
of aging. I mean, I'm assuming this book ends with her death, which is also, like, not the most interesting place to end, I guess.
So are we taking a book club break, or are we,
yeah,
gonna
let's
go
take
ahead
a break.
Meet?
Next week we'll talk about the Academy Awards. We'll, you know, I don't know. When are you, you're seeing Dune, I thought you said on the 15th.
Yeah.
That's when next week's episode comes out. So let's, well, I mean, no hard and fast rules. Maybe people want to get this book that we've been complaining about reading. And join us later on.
Yeah. I mean, do have a sense. I have a sense that we're... I'm hopeful because I'm an optimist that the coming chapters are going to be more story and less descriptions of dances.
Yes. I also, you know, I'm just like, I don't want to do homework.
You know? This has been such homework. Like, every time I have to sit down and read this book, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. And I don't read, read like 10 books at the same time. I pick them up, I put them down, I go read something else. Like, that's, so, like, this, like, very disciplined, because I'm not reading to, like, do a thing. I'm just reading to, like, for some inspiration. So, like, I go over here and read some fiction, and if that's not the vibe I'm in, I go read, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, look, we're halfway through this book. It seems like an appropriate time to take a little break. We're almost to the part with all the pictures, which will be fun. there's obviously going to be a whole bunch of pages of bibliography and endnotes, which is such a relief. I mean...
Well, we're going to review those pages, too.
Yeah, we're gonna talk through all 100 pages of endnotes.
Yeah. What a blast.
We're having a blast with this book. Anyways, it's been really nice to talk to you. It was really nice to see you.
So great.
I can't say I'm excited for the Academy Awards. I have no idea who even is hosting them.
I don't even know if I'll watch, but we'll have results.
No, but I've watched quite a lot of the movies, and that's been fun for me this year.
Yeah, I too, you know, there are those categories where we haven't seen any of them, but, other than that, so there's that, and, you know, we haven't been talking about political things because it's just...
It's so
unbearable.
Grim.
Just acknowledging that. I don't know. It's...
I was thinking, reading these Martha Graham chapters, about how in this time when Europe was falling apart and Germany and Italy and Spain were all moving towards... fascism, America became very galvanized in its, like, effort to move away from that. And I imagine right now that there's a lot of countries elsewhere that are looking at America in the way that we were looking at Germany, Italy, and Spain. So,
well, but as Rachel Maddow points out in, like, her recent stuff, there was a very large... number of people that were very pro-Nazi
in the United States.
Like, it's a it's a part of our history that, like, people don't want to think about, amongst many other things that people refuse to look at. So I think part of what we see depicted in this book is actually, like, a portion of society, including, like, a left...
Right.
You know, progressive, you know, weirdo, freak artist people, like...
Right.
Doing...
But I don't imagine...
...a work that they were probably doing in part because of this other stuff was going on.
And I don't know if this is... Well, I don't know. I honestly just, like, don't know American history well enough, clearly, but... I think there is a distinction because... I don't imagine there was, like, someone running for president... in the 30s and 40s, who was like, Nazis, let's go, you know? Mm-hmm. I think it was probably really?
Well, yeah, I mean, it wasn't this scenario in which, like, a kind of Hitler is running for president.
Yeah.
That's true. But there were people, like, a lot of people in Congress and stuff who were really, like, that's crazy. And if you want to learn more about it, which you probably don't, because the contemporary moment is bleak enough. Yeah.
But,
you know, there's, I don't know, Rachel Maddow, you can find it. There's a book, but I think there's a podcast. Pretty sure there's the podcast is about the same thing as the book, so. But yeah, no, literally people being crazy and like insurrection-y vibes, like things happening. So, which, you know, Rachel Maddow sort of uses as like, we're not in completely uncharted territory here.
Right, right, right. That's good. That's
but know, provides a sense what to do is not entirely clear either. So, not the hugest.
No, telling us.
Yeah.
Anyways, Jeremy, thank you for ending the podcast on such a horrible note. And
anytime. Well, it seems better than starting it there.
That's true.
It's hard to like.
We had to get,
that's
we had
the
to get
thing.
Through
it's
it.
Hard to like go anywhere else when you start talking about current events.
That's so. Because
we didn't even talk about all the other things. So.
We sure didn't. Anyways, I'll talk to you next week, and thank you for listening, everybody.
Thank
and we
you.
Absolutely
love
you.
We
love
you.
Thank you. Okay, bye.